Once again, I would urge you to read for yourself this passage in Sirach 42. These men are mystics, huh? Didymus the Blind, Augustine, Aquinas, many others, you know, pointed out, they lived by the same grace we have, though they didn't know Jesus. The principle that Aquinas enunciates is the intention of the mind goes to the symbol, but because it is a symbol, it goes through to that which it symbolizes. So they lived by the same faith we have. Isn't that marvelous? And Augustine says, and they belong to the same body. But they only knew it in shadow. But when you read this text, huh? I will recall God's works. What I have seen, I will describe. That God's word or his works brought into being, they do his will as he has ordained for them, and so forth, all the way down. He saw faith, but he saw. He's a mystic. He sees. The gospel tells us about another man who wants to see. And he too is a description or an anticipation of the faith that comes after the resurrection. There's no doubt that this story, as so many of the gospel stories, moves on two levels. There's the level of the healing of this blind man, but it's also the story of his vocation. You remember the story of Peter's mother-in-law? And the last line is, and she got up and served. For Matthew served him, the other two served them, but she got up, diakonie, she served. That's a vocation story. We're supposed to look at that and say, well, I may be not sick with a fever, but I need help. And when you give me this help, Lord, I will serve. And this man here, the last line says what? Immediately he received his sight and followed him. He became a disciple. Followed him on the way. And as you know, en teodo, on the word odos, became a word for the early Christian people, right? Paul went around persecuting those who were followers of the way. And so, we're meant, yeah, to be happy for this blind man and to be in admiration of Jesus. Stop the whole procession. Where is he? Bring him here. What do you want? Yes, here's your sight. You know? Your faith has saved you. And they love these words, save. The word is in Greek is sozin. To save means to take something, someone, out of a dangerous environment of some sort and make them secure. He can also, as we do, how he saved the economy. I mean, we can use it that way too. But Jesus saved. That means he rescues from danger and preserves for eternity. So this too, while it's the story of the healing of a blind man, is also a vocation story. It's our story. Most of us were baptized as children, infants, which is a marvelous grace. We because then the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in us right off the bat. We should have a lot less stuff to deal with when we get older, depending on how well we were brought up and how well we responded to the upbringing. But the prayer, Lord, I want to see. That's the foundation for the vocation story. We should pray today, I want to see. I want to get it. I want you to enlighten my spirit so that I can follow you on the way and tell the whole world how he healed my blindness. It's important that we see the faith vision of any saint and of all the gospel writers when they tell this story of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. See, first place, they locate it just before Jesus goes into Jerusalem, where, through his act of love on the cross, he's going to give us the capacity to see. It's the last miracle before he enters Jerusalem. I think it's Luke says he's entering Jerusalem, but the others say as Jesus was leaving Jericho. Now, there's nothing to do except walk up the hill, the mountain, if you will. It's a long walk into the city. And that's what he's going to do now. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We should pray today that we see. Take a woman like Catherine Drexel. One of the three or four wealthiest families in the nation. And those words of the Pope, why don't you, was enough to touch her heart and say, yes, I'm going. Bringing all that talent, all that training, all that poise, all that self-assurance that goes with money to serve the people who are poorest. At that moment, she saw.